Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and today we are going back to vaccine inequality is one way of putting it. Is it? I don't know, Martin. What way do you refer to it?
Skipping the queue, Tony. Jumping. And we all hate queue jumping. Hate it on buses, hate it in cinemas, hate it.
Yeah, no, it's the person who puts their basket down in front at the supermarket and they put it down and it's like, and then they run off to do their actual shopping and then they come back and go, oh, I was there. And you're like, oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
You.
Yeah. No. I pushed the basket out of the way. No, we are coming back to it because we're joined by Craig Hughes of the Daily Mail, who has been on top, the Irish Daily Mail, who's been all over this since the get-go. When I suppose the big story that broke it was around the Beacon Hospital and the vaccines for schools and vaccines for other people who are related to the CEO, for example. But Craig, it hasn't just stopped there. It has actually snowballed. You want to just give us, I suppose, a few minutes of what has happened since then and why it continues to keep legs. Like, this story should be gone, but it's not. It continues to roll on.
Yeah, so I guess, obviously, as I said, this started with teachers, 20 teachers at St. Jude's Private School in Bray being vaccinated with supposedly excess doses from the Beacon Hospital. And kind of after that, the kind of next steps were kind of nailing down that it was actually Michael Cullen, the chief executive, who personally lifted the phone to give them the call. Then we learned that 36 workers at a creche chain, their main office located in Cabinteely, were also vaccinated, and this included the chief executive. So again, there's more questions about that. And afterwards, then I guess the next biggest development was the CEO of the VHI, John O'Dwyer, was vaccinated there. And again, to point out, the Beacon was only supposed to be used to vaccinate frontline healthcare workers. He's since stepped aside, I think within 24 hours of the story breaking, and the VHI are conducting a kind of investigation into that. Obviously, the vaccination stopped at the Beacon Hospital as well. There's two separate investigations there. We've got one by the HSE and one by an independent person from the hospital as well. But I guess after that as well, we started seeing other issues with the vaccine rollout, particularly around the use of the online portal used to register frontline healthcare workers. Essentially, what we revealed there was that anyone who had the link could go on, and once they classified themselves as a frontline healthcare worker, they would get an appointment. And the HSE previously would have said, oh, look, that's all well and good. You'll be validated at the point of vaccination. We revealed that didn't happen in many cases. And there was people, and the link for booking the appointments is posted on Reddit, widely shared on WhatsApp. So that aspect wasn't being followed through on. And then, of course, the final story on that side of it, well, not the final one, was that Minister Donnelly was notified of it, of abuses in the system 10 days before it got taken down. Now, frontline healthcare workers are still being vaccinated. The cohort hasn't been finished yet, but they have taken down the portal. And the story has kind of pivoted in the last few days between myself and my colleague at the Mail on Sunday, Michael O'Farrell, where a number of charities were registered their workers, including, you know, senior management, admin workers, people who've been working from home for the majority of the pandemic, again, through this portal. In some cases, they were told to do this by senior managers, you know, register yourself as a frontline healthcare worker and you'll get vaccinated. And of course, the issue with the charities doing this is that a lot of their vulnerable service users, a lot of whom would have underlying medical conditions, still haven't been vaccinated.
So there's very much an in-crowd. There is an in-crowd who have access to this. It's predominantly seems to be located on the south side of Dublin City, but the portal went further than that. What can be done about it, Craig? You know, it is disgraceful when there are still people in their 80s waiting for their jobs. This is disgraceful.
Yeah, and I think a bit frustrated with the HSE's approach to the Beacon at the moment, because I just asked Paul Reid at the press conference the last day, and it doesn't seem like it's going to amount to a full audit.
Tortoise Shack patrons are drivers of change and willing to hear and listen to new voices.
Yeah, well, Martin, I think so. I think Tortoise Shack has been an incredible success. I mean, I saw how we were mentioned in a lot of aspects of how we've helped improve things for people. We've managed to platform stories. But you know what? It doesn't happen without the support.
Well, you see, we take the voices, Tony, that aren't there in the mainstream media, and we put them onto podcasts.
Yeah, I get that. And I really do think that's one of the things that we've always tried to put at the center, is that there was so much talent out there. I had a good laugh, actually. I don't know if you spotted, but everybody, and no offense to him, Tommy Tiernan's doing great work. But have you noticed that about six of his last eight guests are former Tortoise Shack guests?
I did. And like, if you think that with Reboot Republic, Reboot is talking to people and it's looking for solutions to long-standing issues like housing and healthcare. And then we have the two Nardies. Those lads are definitely outside the pale in every single way. They're outside the pale.
Oh man, I got to sit in on their first international podcast the other evening, and it was how great is to hear working class voices talking so in a language that brings people in and brings them on the journey with them, as opposed to talks to them, you know? And I'm saying that as a lad who is from a working class community, but probably has lost that accent for the most part, you know?
And then there's Glow West. And I mean, I know Glow West makes you go red, Tony, but you know, it looks at the human condition in all its complexity and all its diversity.
Yeah, I get, but like, he laughed because Caroline now, today she puts out a podcast on threesomes, and I'm still scared to how do I word the tweet by putting it out. However, you know, we're over 60 episodes in and no one else is doing that but the Tortoise Shack. I mean that. No, like, there's no other platform that can bring you that arrangement. Like, yesterday we were chatting with, and Vicky's on, and she asks me about a couple of other people around standalone series on Police, and we start making the connections this morning, and guess what, we're going to be scheduling podcasts later next week. It's different.
Yeah, and then of course there's ourselves on the Echo Chamber, and we do politics, we do social issues, but we've spoken to so many people who didn't have a foot in the mainstream and now they do.
Yeah, and I suppose if we were honest about it, that was kind of one of the things where we know great people. I know great people. There's all these people out there. And we've kind of done well off the back of talking to great people, Martin. And the big problem, again, still not viable. Genuinely not viable.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, we decided not to be on the sidelines of our lives, Tony. We decided to go and do something. And the Tortoise Shack is it. And we need patrons.
Yeah, it's like, I'm looking at it now. I'm going to pull it up because people will think I'm exaggerating. Okay, where am I? Yesterday, 15,510 people listened to the Tortoise Shack. Not even tiniest of fractions of people actually contributed to the work that goes into the Tortoise Shack. That was Sunday. I'm working my arse off. We're booking guests. We're putting it all together. And at the end of the day, you know as well as I do, I love doing it, but it's still there, and I'm getting told.
It's disheartening, Tony, when we put so much time and effort into it.
Yeah,
but so much people listen.
Yeah, when you have that volume and you realize it's actually making an impact, that's brilliant. But you wish it had, unfortunately, you know, there's bills and families and all that sort of stuff to take care of, and it just doesn't do that. And you know, it's been difficult for everybody, I get that, but sometimes when you say to someone, it's the price of a cup of coffee, I get it. Some people might not have that, but other people, it's a throwaway thing. So you know, throw it away. Throw it at us, please.
That's,
you know?
It patreon.com/tortoiseshack. What can be done about it, Craig? You know, it is disgraceful when there are still people in their 80s waiting for their jobs. This is disgraceful.
Yeah, and I think a bit frustrated with the HSE's approach to the Beacon at the moment, because I asked Paul Reid to the press conference the last day, and it doesn't seem like it's going to amount to a full audit of all the vaccines. You know, we're not going to go through it and see, okay, you know, who is everyone on this list who's been vaccinated and check them. They're kind of more looking at the procedures and the practices of how things are arranged. So I think anyone who's expecting, you know, a full list of high flyers who were vaccinated there, it's not going to happen.
But there should be a full list. Every vaccine should be allocated to a name. So, you know, the idea that this is anonymized, it's not. We should be able to know who got what.
I didn't say it would be anonymized. I'm saying they're not going to do a full audit in that sense. Isn't they're not going to go through it list by list and see if every person who got vaccinated was entitled to it. Their investigation, as far as I'm understanding it, is going to look at the practices and procedures around how they were organized. So whether...
That's not going to satisfy the public, Craig. You know, I mean,
I don't think it will now.
No, I think that's really where we go. And again, it comes back to, I mean, I don't know if you heard, we had a good interview with Catherine Murphy the other day, and we talked around accountability being a foreign country in Ireland. You know, it's a faraway land quite often, and we don't, sometimes we don't want to get to the bottom of these things, and this will give that impression again, rightly or wrongly, it gives the impression that we're doing this as an exercise to say we did it. You know, it's, and if we're going to go through it, and then you see, so for example, the Irish Wheelchair Association, which you referenced in your story today, and the CEO hasn't confirmed if they've been vaccinated. I mean, I saw wheelchair users who I know talking on social media saying how disappointed they are about this because they haven't been vaccinated, but they know senior people who are not vulnerable and don't have underlying conditions have been.
Yeah, I mean, this story was so frustrating, to be honest. You know, I mean, first of all, they came back saying, oh, we don't know how many of our staff are vaccinated, you know, which is okay. You can believe that if you want. But I mean, repeatedly asking the same very simple question, you know. They confirmed that management were offered. I said, okay, was the chief executive vaccinated? Like over the space of 2 or 3 days, you know, nothing, would not answer the question at all. I even contacted her directly, you know, text messages, phone calls, no, nothing. And this lady, Rosemary Keogh, she's also on the board of directors of the charities regulator. You know, they list their values as, you know, being transparency and, you know, having public confidence in the charity sector. And to not answer simple questions like this, you know, around such a significant issue of public importance, it's just, it really is so frustrating. I even started calling a couple of the board members, and again, they were just so no comment, not getting involved in this. And I'm kind of going like, you know,
it's kind of a titanic moment where the wealthy and the well-connected are put on the life rafts first. Hmm. I mean, that's what's going on here. And there's no accountability, even though these vaccines have a value.
Let's cut the value piece out and just say they're not their property to give out like that. That's the important thing. They are state property ultimately, Craig. Yes.
Yes. And actually, Louise O'Reilly did a very good op-ed for us in our paper recently, where she spoke about when she, in her past life working the unions, she represented someone who was accused of stealing, I think, €35 worth of bandages from a hospital, or pounds at the time, what it might have been, and that they were pursued so relentlessly through the courts over such a small menial thing. And she said, you know, she didn't do it. They were given to her by a senior doctor at the hospital. But she was just contrasting, you know, someone like that at the bottom of the ladder, accused of stealing something from the hospital, you know, pursued doggedly through the courts by the state. And yet here, and something so important like vaccines that can make such a world of difference to people's lives, it just seems to be, no, let's sweep it under the rug. Let's move on here.
And I think it's really fair to point out at this point, you're very much of the understanding, as everybody is, that everybody vaccinated is a good step forward. We have to vaccinate everybody. However, you know, when you see it like this, to go to Martin's point, it does strike you that there is a class element to this, is particularly when we saw what happened on the Beacon and the fact that they've now, you know, stopped. And actually, funnily enough, the last time we discussed this, you are kind of the opinion that it was, and the Minister for Health actually said the same thing that you said 24 hours later, that getting rid of them might be cutting off their nose to spite their face in terms of as a vaccine centre, but they did it anyway. That was maybe optics, I don't know, but it certainly wasn't, it certainly didn't dissuade people from thinking that it's still been endemic. I mean, there must be, how do we not know how many vaccines have been, how do I put this? Misappropriated is probably the most careful word I can use.
Yeah, well, of course, I've asked the Beacon Hospital and they won't answer how many vaccines went to non-frontline healthcare workers, and they've refused to answer there. I'm just getting back to, you know, the moving away. I mean, it's very interesting because either stopping them doing vaccinations significantly negatively impacts us, or, as the minister says, it doesn't, and we had capacity anyway. But if that is true, why were they there in the first place?
You know? Yeah, well, I'll tell you now, for somebody who has two elderly parents and who haven't left their houses because they can't get jobs. You know, my mom, 75, got her first job last week. Now, she should have gotten it weeks and weeks ago, but if all of these people are stocking up on it and giving it to their pals and their friends, no, it makes me really freaking angry that they're doing this. Really angry.
I can speak to facts. And like we've seen the article in terms of the hotel up the road from me here, where the quarantine hotel has been, and where you've seen senior management who aren't customer facing or you know, holiday maker facing, or people are coming in for quarantine facing, have received the vaccines, whereas some of the staff who are actually cleaning the bed sheets and changing all of that have not. And they've been actually, not only that, but they've been ruled out of being able to get tested regularly unless they're on certain shifts. So this is all, you know, this is in the public domain. I'm not making it, is a hierarchy, and it does kind of, that's the only phrase you can use at it. There's certainly an in-group and an out-group. And when you see this work, like, I mean, I'm delighted that you continue to pursue it, but I also think that, you know, hopefully there's an end point to this, but will we ever change? Will we ever get anywhere, Craig, unless there's actually accountability for it?
Yeah, well, I was talking to a TD last night, and they said, you know, we'll only know who's wearing swimming togs and the tide goes out when people start getting these green passports, and all of a sudden, there'll be a couple of 20-year-olds and 30 or 40-year-olds who all of a sudden have them, and you're kind of going, oh, hold on a second.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out who's booked Lake Garda and I think you're very right. I think we'll be looking around and going, oh God, now, so... You know, there are, you know, literally thousands of other people who've been vaccinated that will be doing things that, and then it doesn't help. And again, I'm not asking you to comment on this, but I don't think it helps when you have comments coming from different ministers and indeed the Taoiseach, where he said, you know, additional rights for people who've been vaccinated. And
well, those additional rights, Tony, started at birth for these people, you know, and they did start at birth for these people. And if you were to write a fictional story about the rollout of vaccine in Ireland, we'd all write that the rich, the wealthy and the well-connected got it first, because that's how this country operates. It's how this country always operates. It's so cynical. It's unreal. And I think you're doing a great job in it, Craig. And I hope you keep digging and rooting and putting foots up people's arses until we get to the end of it.
Yeah, well, I do. I have a big long list of leads that I'm still pursuing. So we'll see where it takes us.
And actually, that's what doesn't surprise me. I do. Like, we won't delay you much longer. We know you're taking time over your lunch break, but I do think it's important that people understand that this is, you know, people have been coming forward and effectively saying, yes, this is happening. This is the thing. And we've been slow to act. Again, my words, not Craig's. If we're slow to act, sometimes it's because we want to be. You know, it's, you know, I've seen today how swiftly the government are saying, let's get rid of people managing social media accounts from abroad, because apparently Sinn Féin are very good via Serbia. And I'm still waiting on the digital safety commissioner to be appointed, like, you know, like 6 years after it was first floated. So, you know, it is a matter of prioritization. And I think this story goes to a problem fundamentally in Irish society, in terms of this. We don't like to talk about class. We just don't. It's almost deemed impolite to mention that there's problems in terms of, you know, access to things, but it is there, and it does show its face when you see situations like this. I Craig, keep up the work. We hope to stay in touch with you. But, and also, guys, yeah, where Craig, you guys now have you can go online and get a digital subscription, can't you?
Yeah, so Mail Plus is the app version, so you can subscribe there and get your paper digitally every day. So both for the Irish Daily Mail and the Mail on Sunday.
Well, I can definitely say I haven't had a vaccine. I know Tony hasn't a vaccine. I know you're out and about, and if anybody should be vaccinated, it's journalists who are out and about doing their work.
Did you not see what I said? If you vaccinated podcasters first, that would cover 80% of the globe.
Yeah. I rang a TD the last day, and they didn't answer the phone. So I texted him. I said, look, I'm taking this refusal to answer my call as confirmation that you got the vaccine. They soon rang me back straight afterwards. So.
I love it. Craig Hughes, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Really appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
There is something to be said. Actually, you know what? It's funny. If you're a patron, you didn't have to hear the 2 minute rant that we did about the fact that we don't have enough patrons. But what we do say in it is actually, it's great to be able to text someone like Craig and get him to give us 15, 20 minutes of his time to tell us where. So that's the power of being able to do this on the podcast, on the platform that we have. But one of the other reasons that I was kind of motivated to do it is because it's just one story in a continuation of continual fuck-ups. I mean, we saw the story yesterday in the Sunday Business Post about 43 TDs and senators claiming travel expenses who went to their meetings via Zoom.
Yeah, I know. But this is more of it, Tony. This is more the Titanic, put the rich people in the lifeboats, make sure they're taken care of. There's people on Pup who had the money reduced. There's people on Pup who are going to face a tax bill. And yet these gobshites are claiming expenses for doing nothing.
I mean, I'm looking at Ken Fox has a great story in the Indo today about ministers, TDs and senators spending $674,000 through an allowance that they can claim for their expenses for PR, advice, consultancy and secretarial assistance. I mean, Stephanie Preisner, who, you know, has links to Fianna Fáil through her. Look, I don't want to personalize it, but, you know, she does
fucking personalize it, Tony. It needs to be personalized.
She has her own podcast. She does her own thing. She's an influencer, whatever she's doing. But she's getting £6,154 from a minister of state and Rabbit. Shockingly enough, when we see these connections, we make these things in our brain where we go, well, you know, absolutely they do because they're intrinsically linked to that party. That's their linkage. But it just drives you mad when you see the Timmy Dooley paid his wife $10,400 for secretarial assistance. Is that legitimate? Probably. But it's still, nonetheless, all of these things. It's
nepotism, Tony, and that's not allowed in.
Well, I remember everybody going mad about nepotism when it was Claire Daly, who I have another beef with about, by the way, what happened in Claire traveling with Mick Wallace recently. I thought that was totally over the top and inappropriate. And, you know, we'll hopefully, if we can get Claire, we'll have that conversation at some stage. But, I mean, 674,000, it's
okay. Let me tell you, Tony, as a whistleblower, and you know I am, the whistleblower legislation didn't help whistleblowers. What it did was allow TDs and senators hide their expenses.
It did.
And it's fucking disgraceful. It's the only thing it's been used for that's any good for anybody, and it's to hide expenses. Whistleblowers are still sitting there with their arses hanging out, getting fired from their jobs, Tony. But politicians and senators can hide their freaking expenses.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's disgraceful shite that they're going on with. Utterly disgraceful. And any chance I get, I shoot them down on it. And I shoot them down in public. I'm not allowing that to continue. This is my country. One man, one vote. And if you don't like it, step the fuck aside and let people who can be more equal, who can be better to other people, take the jobs. I'm just sick and tired of it. I am sick and tired of these corrupt assholes. Totally sick and tired of them.
You know, here's the thing, Martin. Can I agree with you up till one word where you said corrupt? Because the thing is, the pitch is in their favor, the rules are in their favor, and the crime is what's legal.
Still doesn't take from it being corrupt, Tony. Corrupt. You know, you're using corrupt in a legal sense, where corrupt can be used in many senses. And it is a corruption of what we're meant to have.
It's a corruption of what you would say is the idea of public service. That's what it is. It's a corruption of people who are very well paid, let's be honest. Now, like, I mean, what is it, fourth or fifth highest paid politicians?
Look at the second or third least. Now, look at the money he's going to be getting, which is disgraceful. It's utterly, and they changed the rules to give him that money. And that's disgraceful. There's nobody worth that money. There is no skills that anybody can bring to a job that make them worth that money. None.
I agree with you. Don't want to personalize the Robert Watt. I don't know the man. I just don't think anybody in the public should be earning that type of money.
No, they shouldn't. No, not at all.
It's €82,000 of a pay rise
that he engineered, orchestrated, spoke up for, and he's the first beneficiary.
I love the line, though. See, this is the line that has to go away, that if we don't pay top dollar, we won't attract talent. We have a lot of brainless idiots that get a lot of highly paid jobs just because they've got confidence and look good in a suit. And that is not unfair of me.
Not even because they got confidence and look good in a suit. It's because they're connected, Tony. Same as with the vaccines.
Yeah, but this is
because they're connected.
Look, we can't. I just think we're very underserved. People tell you that politicians, you know, they work hard, they do all this, that, and the other. I disagree. They're public. They're supposed to be motivated by wanting to do good, to serve people. When you continuously see things like this, 43 of you taking money to go on Zoom, okay? Yeah. That is creeping corruption. That is absolutely despicable. And that is actually, you know, it's what's that warm water running down my back? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
It started with the expenses, Tony. It started with hiding their expenses. And we as the public never get to set the agenda. We never get to say, okay, you're going to stand for an election. Here's what we want. We want your expenses, every expense. And there's no party, and I mean no party out there who has stood up and said, we'll declare all of our expenses for all of our people, because they're all involved in it, and none of them want their expenses out there. None of them.
I'm loath to give people credit, because they'll say, you know, these things, again, when we to change the rules to this unvouched thing, but I've seen so many people take advantage of it. It's very easy, guys, by the way. A lot of this is just there. You can see it on the Oireachtas website. And what you'll see, though, the problem is it looks transparent, but it's not, because it's just a flat, you know, whether it's 3,613 quid a month, it's just a flat thing. And you don't know what that money's going on. It could be just going into their pockets. It could be going to pay for a secretary. It could be going to pay for 2 weeks in Lanzarote, for all we know, because they don't have to declare a lot of this. And you're right, they cynically used whistleblower legislation to slide this in, and it absolutely destroyed it. They've done a few things. They've attacked that, and they've attacked FOI. And they continue to attack freedom of information to make these things difficult, which is why, again, Ken Fox is there plugging away, righttoknow.ie. Yeah, you know, Ken pays for these FOIs out of his own arse pocket. And I saw one recently, and Mark, we had Olive on from the Parents United group. And I don't know if you saw her famous one where she applied for all this information from the HSE, and they said, oh, yeah, okay, we can get it for you, but it's going to cost a lot of money. And she went off and said, look, I've got all the money. And she came back and said, look, we'll pay for it. We just want all the data. And they went, we're not giving it to you anyway.
Yeah. Look, I'm years dealing with FOI and GDPR and data protection, Tony. And I can tell you, they do everything they can to frustrate it at every single step. They try and frustrate. It's a brick wall. We can't know what they're doing, yet they want to be completely intrusive in our lives. It just makes me really angry. That's all it does.
What I like to see is transparency on all levels. We always say we're of the left, we lean left, we own our politics, we own where, you know, what we talk about. But when you see other people then, you know, trotting in and out of RTE studios and you're looking at it, and then you see their names linked to these PR companies that are being paid vast sums of money by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and, you know, and that's what covered in this article today. I can only speak for that. Their lines are never drawn. You know, who pays you to form your opinion?
Yeah, let me tell you, there are programs at the weekends that are just one long infomercial, Stoney.
Yeah, but I'd be okay with that if someone turned around and said, you've worked for, you know, ex minister for the last number of months, haven't you? But they don't declare it, Martin. They go in as if these people are just in a personal capacity. How do you go in a personal capacity when the mortgage repayment you make every month relies on the people who are sitting in government?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, they're not there for no reason, Tony. Nobody gets up at the crack of dawn on a Sunday morning to go and sit on a political show just out of the goodness of their heart. Nobody does.
Yeah, well, we need to start parsing this better. I mean, you know, we keep hearing of all of these people. And as I said, I'm sorry now for personalizing at the beginning with Stephanie. She does her own thing and all the rest of it. But in a way, it's in the article, so I'm not speaking out of turn. She's received this money from Fianna Fáil. That's where her thing is. But I just don't think this stuff is parsed enough in the public discourse. It's just not said. People will arrive on something and they'll be presented as an independent observer speaking in their personal capacity. And it's just not true. It's just not true. And if you think it's true, well, then you're a mug.
Yeah, and they're taking you for a mug. They are taking you for a mug. And they're taking us for a mug with vaccines. And they're taking us for mugs with their expenses. They just continuously take us for mugs. So when the day comes when somebody stands up and says, no, enough of this crap, don't come whinging back to us. Don't. You asked for it. It's coming your way. And you asked for it.
We'll leave it there. We've a good bit coming up this week. There's potentially But we won't say anything more about that at the moment. And there's a few other things in the pipeline. We're working on a couple of things with police this week as well. And I have hours of content to put together on the Rory's Reboot 100. And if you are a patron, the full thing is out now, and it will only be going out on Patreon because it's just gangbusters.
Yeah, look, patrons pay to keep this podcast going, so you get special treatment. And we've no problem saying that. You get special treatment. You pay to keep us going, so you will get special treatment.
Talk to y'all soon, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.